today, our question, how can I be a better friend? How can we all be a better friend? You know, earlier, Nancy, we were talking about the one another's of ministry, the one another's of being members of the body of Christ. And, you know, being a better friend, being a friend, a spiritual friend, is an important thing. So how can we be better friends?
Yes. And, you know, we all want good friends. The question is, are we that friend that we would want to be a friend? And you know, that sounds like a tongue twister, but indeed, are we that person that we would say, I want to be that guy's friend or that girl's friend? And sometimes it's good just to take a good look at us. We all have a friend or friends, and some of them are good, and some of them are a little shaky. But the thing about us, and I think just as a culture, we tend to look and act the same and have similar interests of a close friend. That is kind of it. We gravitate to people that are like us, and we tend to struggle with making new friends who are different from us. You know, we would prefer to stay with those whom we feel very comfortable. And the question is, are we open to being friends with people that look and think differently than we do, with conflicting worldviews, but still become friends? And how on earth can we become a better friend than we are right now? And I think these are good thoughts that we need to struggle with, because there are many, many, many people out there who need a friend, who need somebody to listen, to laugh with, to talk to. And it takes effort, and it takes going out of our comfortableness. By definition, a friend is a person whom one likes and trusts. Notice that word, trust. It can be an acquaintance or somebody with whom somebody is aligned in a struggle or a cause. You know, it is that person in your life that is significant. And God shows us in the scriptures, oh my goodness, so much about what it means to be a friend. And both in the old and new, we tend to think of the God of the Old Testament is harsh and unfriendly, but clearly that is not the case. And when we look at the Old Testament, some people in the Old Testament regarding friendships, you know, let's start with Adam and Eve. They sinned in their relationship with God, was suffered. There it is. So they had that. It began with a beautiful friendship, a trust friendship. And then we see that they sinned. They went against God. They sinned against him, and their relationship was severed. But because God desires a relationship with all he created, what did he do? He extended grace and forgiveness to those who love and follow him. And what a good thought for all of us, that we be that person to quickly forgive and extend grace as God did with us. But, you know, then there are two characters, Enoch and Noah. And when we talk about friendship, especially in this case with God, you know, we have Enoch, who's the father of Methuselah, okay? And he lived to be well over 300 years. And remember, and then the scripture says in Genesis 5, and he walked faithfully with God. He walked faithfully no matter what. He was going to walk with God. And then if you continue to read this story, and then God just called him up. You know, it wasn't one of those where he died, he was just called up. And then, of course, Noah, again, another one who walked with God, which is a Hebrew expression for friendship. And in Genesis 6:9, we see an account of Noah and his family. Noah was righteous, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. And then we see Abraham, called a friend of God. We see Moses, who spoke with God face to face. as a man speaks to a friend in Exodus 33. So there you have it, you know, just starting from the Old Testament and then in the New Testament, again, Jesus's desire to be God, yes, to be a leader, to have us follow him as a leader in our life, yes. But now we see this beautiful thing about Jesus wanting to be a friend. And he sets that example of what it means to be a friend in John 15, 12 through 17. And if you haven't read it lately, do. It's just a beautiful thing where he says to his disciples, "This is my commandment, to love one another as I've loved you. No greater love has anyone than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain. So whatever you ask in the Father's, ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. This is my command, to love one another." There is no more powerful piece of scripture when it comes to friendship than this. And this is the key. What will we do to serve and to help those that God has put in our lives, those that we call friends?
Well, I know one thing that can really get in the way of our relationships, just in general. And I could talk about our current culture for hours because I get so aggravated with the state of things, Nancy. But our current culture does seem to have impacted how we engage in relationships. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, more than anybody, you and Steve, because you're part of speaking into the culture. But let's just be honest about it. This culture is about themselves. It's really not about sacrificially loving one another, especially when it comes to God. This is a troubled time. You know, this culture is fast-paced and extremely shallow. And I know I can hear some amens around there, but it is. It's extremely shallow. And it hinders the kind of relationship that God wants us and expects us to experience. You know, with the busyness of life, many of us do not nurture the relationships that we have. And boy, I am guilty of that, where we just assume that everything is okay. We don't check in for, you know, several weeks sometimes, and have missed points and experiences and times where we should have been there. Most people spend more time on social media than they do with friends. What do you think about that? You know, this is not God's idea of building friendships. We just get hooked on that social media. And it's not healthy. You know, a lot of people are addicted to it. They wake up and they punch into their social media. God wants us to punch into him, you know. Others shy away from deep friendships, because they don't want to be honest or transparent with their friend. And how many times does that happen? Because friends, sometimes they're extraordinarily judgmental. And therefore, the experience of a spiritual or personal growth is hindered. Friendship matters to God. It does. And it is vital to emotional and spiritual well-being. I just think this is so important, God being a relational God. For us to be healthy, we have to have healthy relationships, not necessarily with people that are exactly like us, people that challenge us, people that need help, and people that are wanting to give us help and encouragement to be that receiver as well as that giver. Woof. And in this culture, Kelly, Steve, it's just so hard.
Well, I think that it is difficult for a number of reasons, because we do live in a time period where there is so much distraction, but we also live in a time period where we've never had more access to God's word. It couldn't be simpler to find a way to him.
Don't ask questions, Nancy. It only encourages him.
We're back with our biblical worldview question of the week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away Worldview Ministries. Anchorsaway.org is the place you want to go to find out more if you'd like to learn about the Christian worldview and the training materials that are available to you. But we're talking about friendship and how can we be better friends. So, you know, Nancy, we've already established biblically, we see the basis of friendship, and we also see that we don't do it very well in our culture, how that's impacted our relationships. Well, how can we turn things around in our friendships and be a better friend to others?
Yes, and you know, there's so many people that say, well, I don't really have any friends, but yet they sit and they do nothing. And I think for all of us to take the initiative just to make friends, to, if you're a church, just see somebody that you don't know and just introduce yourself, get to know them. Because you never know the people that God puts in your life, what's going on in their lives until you boldly take the initiative. And you know, we just love to stay in our little holy huddles and have our little groups once a week and be good with it. I don't think that's God's way, knowing the scriptures. We need to reach out to those whom God puts in our path. Invite people to have a cup of coffee or go have lunch. Get to know their story and share yours and just encourage one another. Because you might be the only person that's ever reached out to that person. You know, who knows? Or shocker, invite them into your holy huddle even though their faith is weak. Might not even be a Christian. And that's what I'm saying. The invitations need to be extended to believers and unbelievers alike. Isn't that what we're to be about anyway? Yes, encourage one another in Christ, but also to reach out. That's what we're called to do. So that's that. And how many friendships break up over, you know, a misunderstanding and this idea of people making mistakes, even to their friends, and being quick to forgive, you know, for offenses towards you. Maybe they said something bad about you to somebody else. You know, confront and love and get going. Life is short. Be quicker to ask forgiveness when you sin against someone. You know, Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I think we make forgiveness so hard. Instead of just calling, you know what, I really messed up. I'm sorry. I love you. Will you forgive me? There you go. And if they don't, well, then they really weren't your friend anyway. Practice humility and gentleness and patience and endurance as we build lifelong friendships. You know, friendships aren't just for us. They're for other people as well. And for people looking on to see what kind of a friend you are is a wonderful way to show people Christ's love by the way you love in the good times and in the bad times. And I think on this note, just staying close to people during hard times, being available to help, you know, and sometimes doing nothing is more important than anything. Just going and being with somebody, sitting with a struggling friend, not having to fix them. Most guys have a tendency more they want to fix and then move on. And women just so often we just are a little bit, in some cases, most cases, a little bit more inwardly relational. We just want to be able to be with somebody that doesn't try to fix us, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, a big part of that, I think, is the ministry of presence, right? That's the most important
thing.
In the midst of it. You see that everything went okay until Job's friends opened their mouth, you know, sometimes.
Yeah. And let's not be a friend like Job, really, for real.
We need to just, you know, be present. That's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think, too, being a good listener, I just think that's so important for all of us. Just the patience to sit and listen. And again, it takes practice to keep our mouth closed. And I know as a parent and now a grandparent, to just learn to listen and let people process And, you know, listening is a habit that's well worth developing. And, you know, others, when others feel that they're heard and then they feel valued in all, you know, then they want to listen and hopefully go forward. In James 1:19, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So again, with all of this, with all of this idea of being a friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is a true friend and can be a friend of ours. You know, this idea of having to speak religiously to God during in prayer isn't what being a friend is about. Yes, it's about being in the scripture. Yes, it's about praying. But yes, it's about feeling and communicating with him throughout the day. He's with us. You know, he's the one that made the ultimate sacrifice for his friends. He laid down his life. And being Jesus's friend includes us to be his hand and feet, essentially laying down our life, the convenience of our life, and sacrificially become a friend. We too must think and live intentionally to love and befriend others. You know, it is what friends do. In Matthew 25:40, you know, when we see the joy that God that must bring to God, you know, when he sees us acting sacrificially, living sacrificially to help all those, we see in Matthew 25:40, and the king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did to me. And that's the story of friendship. Go and do and be. Get out of your comfort zone, and I guarantee you God will bless it.
Well, and that is such a powerful piece of scripture to keep in mind in all of our relationships too, Nancy, because I'm thinking back to the beginning of the conversation of what you said about people being addicted to social media. Yeah, we can check in, but that's just hit and run conversation. It rarely gets deep there. If it starts to get deep at all, then we take it offline and we go to instant messenger, but that's not face to face. That's not being present with somebody. Yeah. It's not showing the care that we need to show. And when you consider how you're honoring other people, the Lord sees that as how you are treating him. That is sobering, and that is a wake up call. And it's not that hard.
No. It's so true. And, you know, I think of Zoom and all these meetings and all this stuff that we're now having on Zoom. That's nice if you want to, you know, do facts or whatever, just see faces. But you don't see their souls during a Zoom. And I think we just need to make every effort we can to be face to face with friends. Just presence of a friend is comforting. Yeah. And you know, we just, it's so hard, but is something that, I mean, even in thinking about this past week, all the multitude of ways I can be a better friend. And I think we need to honestly just be real about our fragility, you know, and our selfishness of saying, I don't really have the time for this when you know you could make it. So anyway, I love this because I know what a friend Jesus is and a deeper friend he wants to be with us. So what a great idea to just contemplate on a God of the universe who created all of us, not only created us, but wants to walk with us. Mm. And there's no greater way to live out this life than to be with Christ.
Amen to that. Well, thank you so much, Nancy. We're so glad that we could spend some time with you this morning, talk about this and so many other important topics. If you want to learn more about the Christian worldview, I encourage you to go to anchorsaway.org. If that's a little bit too much for you, you can go to kellyandsteve.org under the Resources tab. Click it right there. It says an Anchors Away. Find out about the Biblical Worldview classes, courses, and you can sign up, check it out. You could do self-paced study. Wonderful opportunity to get your hands on some materials that will build into your life and help you stand firm in your faith at anchorsaway.org.
All right. Get connected. Nancy, thanks for being a good friend.
Oh, thank you both. You know, I love you dearly. And people listen to you. They hear their voices. They can't see you. But you guys are just dear friends too, not only to me, but to so many. And that's what I love about you. You walk your talk. So at any rate, thank you so much. Blessings to you both.
You too. Love you. And we'll talk to you again soon.